You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Happy Unsubscribe Day. We'll get to that in a little bit. This is the IT in the D Show. We've reached episode 174. We have an awesome guest lineup today. Segment two, we are joined by none other than Jerry Cull and Aaron Schaefer from US Signal talking about the cloud. What is the cloud?
Someone else's computer.
It is. No, it's not. No, we'll be talking about the cloud. Then we got Jake and John in the house from Tome Software.
From State Farm?
No, he's not from State Farm. Okay. We are going to be talking about taking legacy devices and making them in the IoT world. So it should be a fun conversation.
I can IoT my lawnmower?
Can't
wait to hear.
No, my Crock-Pot.
Crock-Pot. Yes. IoT-enabled Crock-Pot. Dave, you may fire when ready.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
You're listening to the IT in the D Show.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Just where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Hi, this is Jeremy London from Mallrats, and I'm just wondering, how did I go from Hot Floridian Sex with Brandy spinning to the IT and D Show?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
I used to hang out at the Montgomery Bar. It was a rough place, the seediest dive on the wharf, populated with every reject and cutthroat from Bombay to Calcutta. It's worse than Detroit.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Dig, you IT geeks. This is Dre DiMatteo from Sons of Anarchy. You are listening to IT in the D.
What happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bumhole?
Exactly.
Come on.
Someone tries. The hell with this. I'm calling a break. We'll come back to this.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT in the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the geek off.
Hi, this is Martin Cove, John Kreese from the Karate Kid movie. And you're listening to IT in the D.
Are we at a break yet?
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT in the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds.
What is a nerd?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Pump Pump. IT in the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
You're in your underwear, I'm in my underwear. Here, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey, I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear, that's a fact.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
It's just too big.
How big?
It's way too big.
I can get it all the way in.
Really? Should we talk about this? Tag team. Should I keep going, or should I stop?
We just lost our clean tag on iTunes.
But it's delicious.
This is Robert Hayes, Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat stick.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy.
What would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do. The question is what aren't we going to do.
Ludicrous speed. Sir, had you better buckle up. Buckle this. Ludicrous speed. Go.
Welcome. Thank you for listening. This is the IT in the D Show. We hope you all had an amazing Thanksgiving and holiday with your family or maybe not. We are broadcasting here live in Podcast Detroit Studio One in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob, the sales guy, hanging out with Dave the Geek. Nuri the FNG is here in the studio. Find us online, itinthed.com, because we are IT in the D, and you just keep trying, but it's yeah.
Still are not, no.
Good luck to you. But as we mentioned, we have an awesome guest lineup, Jerry Cull, Aaron Schaefer, the CTO of US Signal, talking about the cloud and all things the cloud and properties of the cloud. and what
it's
is
demented and sad, cloud. But social. Yeah.
We also got Jake and John here from Tome Software talking about connected devices. We're going to be introducing the new IoT Crock-Pot, which is coming to the markets this holiday season.
The iCrock.
Yeah.
Or iPod.
You'll never had better Crock-Pot food because who wants to push that lousy button? I want an app to push it for me. Just kidding. They take legacy devices and turn them into IoT. Should be an awesome conversation. Mark your calendars. December the 8th. Elf on the Beer Shelf.
Yes.
We're going to be at Falling Down Beer Company, 10 into Quinder, for our annual toy drive for Operation Kit Equip. So if,
we're going to be at, fine.
Cash is fine, too. We're going to be at 10 into Quinder from 5 o'clock until question mark. Order your Ubers. Because it's going to be one of those nights.
Well, yeah, and for those who don't know, so obviously, I mean, we deal with these guys last year. It's the folks behind Operation Kit Equip. So, you know, during the summer, they do the backpack drive, school supplies, all that kind of stuff for kids right here local in the area. And go figure, kids that don't necessarily have all the school supplies and stuff they need for the school year don't really necessarily have the best holiday season ever either. So the last couple of years, we've been working with them for a Christmas thing, and it has gone phenomenally. The look on the kids' faces last year when I put the recap in the blast that went out today, but you know, over $2,500 in cash, just thousands of dollars in toys. It's the one event we do every year where I wind up sitting back and just slack jawed amazement at you guys who show up. So please come.
It's a fun event too. It's like always packed. So usually good local music.
Oh, yeah.
The beer is great, obviously.
I'm talking to Kevin now about nice. Coming back out. You know, he played last year and had a great time. Probably going to be bringing the remote gear out again. Got a couple shows that said they want to hop on a mic and chill and do that kind of stuff. So we'll probably do that a little bit.
So if you're planning on coming, get there early, plan on staying late.
Yes.
Yeah.
So as we mentioned, this is National Unsubscribe Day.
Yes. Yes,
and
yes it is.
But if you have a Gmail account or any sort of personal email account, everyone that you've ever bought anything from in the history of your entire life has emailed you at least 3 or 4 times this entire weekend, and I hate them all.
I had like 225 total emails in my promotions tab.
Yep.
Starting at about like mid-morning on Thanksgiving.
Don't they know that that's going to happen?
Possibly the most annoying one that I've gotten, I don't know, 5 times so far today. Our friends at Quicken.
Oh no.
Let everyone know that Cyber Monday is the best time to refinance your house.
It's the best time, yeah.
Did the Fed drop the rates today only?
Yeah, exactly. Ooh. One day.
It's like the furniture commercials on Christmas. It's like, no, I'm not buying a sofa on Christmas.
No.
No, I'm not buying a car Buick on Christmas. And no one puts a red ribbon on a roof of a car and gives it to their wife for Christmas without having her pick the car first. Let's just get that out in the air.
You did that?
I did that.
Oh, you're
year.
An anus.
It wasn't a red ribbon. It was a blue ribbon. And it was, well, she kind of picked it out. I knew it was
she picked
wanted.
It out, though. Yeah. You don't surprise! I got you a Buick.
Right? No,
no.
Doesn't look like a Buick.
Congratulations, Jessica, on your new job.
Oh yeah,
at Buick.
And you're yeah, exactly after your hour and a half long wait for a drug test. Yeah.
Yeah. So you've ever been watching a movie and gone, "Well, why don't they just fix the problem like that?" Of course, the answer is usually because, well, there wouldn't be a movie. But tech pioneer VMware said, "Screw that! We're going to take this what if." And turn it into a podcast. So they dropped a couple of IT guys, kind of Men in Black style, with an old school veteran and a young hotshot, into some of the most classic science fiction movies ever, like Star Wars, The Matrix, Terminator, Tron. Okay, well, maybe not all of them are classics.
See, and they're dead to me, because Tron is absolutely a classic.
But the way that they get in there and expose some of Hollywood's biggest technology plot holes, while having a lot of fun at the original writers and directors' expense, is really clever and funny. Plus, they've got this great supporting cast, including one of the best Jeff Goldblum impersonations you've ever heard in the Independence Day episode. So that alone is probably worth it. The podcast is called IT is Greater Than Sci-Fi, and all 8 episodes on the series are live right now at vmware.com/radius/sci-fi. You can also download it from iTunes, SoundCloud, and your other podcast places that fine podcasts are sold. It's the best thing you listen to all week. Well, except us, of course.
And if you listen, I listened to it, and it is so well put together. It is like, okay, so we're like a bad 8mm movie, and they're like a 3D motion picture IMAX.
Is it smooth?
It's well put together. They put some thought through this, and the production value. It's a great quick listen. It's phenomenal.
Hey, so speaking of 3D IMAX, I'm going to go to the board and answer. What is not how we're watching Star Wars Rogue One? Because I didn't let you buy the tickets this time.
What did I do?
What happened?
So episode 7, we had a bunch of us together, and we were like, oh, it's the 3D showing. All right, we'll give it a shot. Like, I'd never – like the Henry Ford, that kind of stuff. I hated episode 7. I hated episode 7.
Okay. You just hate it because South Park says you should hate it.
My attitude has not changed.
Lies.
Since we walked out of the theater.
Remember episode 4?
Remember? Yeah. No, and honestly, what killed it for me was the 3D with the and it was the space scenes with the ships, because every time one of those hit, they looked like little toys sitting in front of my face, ripped me right out of it. Now, 2 days later, I went and saw it with the kids, not 3D. Liked it better.
The same thing, the high frame rate versions too. Yep. I saw was The Hobbit in HFR, yeah. And I'm like, this looks like it's made in a set. This looks so crappy. It's like motion smoothing on your Samsung TV, basically.
Exactly. So, yes, Rogue One opens 12:15. I stayed up till midnight, 12:01. Got the tickets. Fandango did me a wonderful favor and doubled my order. Anyone wants to come see Rogue One at the 7:30 show on the 15th, let me know.
You're the first to tweet us at.
Right.
I have a feeling that Rogue One is almost like what they did with Empire, where they made it a little darker, a little bit edgier. Because the nostalgia thing, great, you got Darth Vader back and James Earl Jones is doing the voice, and that's great. But
we have the meats.
Right.
I am your father.
Yeah. You were great in the Sandlot. This seems like it's – you don't know who the arch villain is. Like, there's always the Darth Maul. Vader's in it.
Well, and Tarkin.
Who's playing Tarkin?
Not Peter Cushing, because he's dead. This is set, 30 years ago. I honestly don't remember. So I would assume it's going to be the usual cast of, it's Tarkin and, the guys with the bicycle racing helmets on the Death Star.
Yeah.
There'll be those guys.
Yeah, those guys. They push the button that makes it do all that.
Yeah. And with no safety rail around their little station that was on a ledge thousands of feet up in the Death Star laser tunnel. I always felt bad for those guys.
Imagine the heat. Don't you think it would melt their goggles being on that thing?
I hope you're right, though, Bob, because the last movie I felt was too – Remember this? This is why you liked us the first time, right?
Oh, totally.
It better be darker this
time. I just watched Batman Superman again with my kids, and it's that Martha scene that just – it would have been a fine movie.
How did you know her name?
Martha. Like, I'm not going to call my mother Kathy. Like, Kathy, they got Kathy. No, I'm like, they got my ma. Like, who talks like that? And it's the same thing with if she didn't find the Millennium Falcon, her and Finn, and wouldn't have gotten kidnapped right off the bat by – Han Solo and Chewie, it would have been a pretty good movie. Let's put that out there. That was one thing, like, really? And then, really, really?
Yeah.
Ever?
Right, but if you would have taken a normal ship and then went to some desolate,
and run into them
and
somehow.
How do you, right, and found, I don't know. But you know what I'm saying?
My opinion about the movie has, or about the Ep 7 has always remained consistent. The first half hour of the movie was, this is all the stuff you loved before. Here it is again. The next half hour was, hey, look how witty and funny our writers are with their cutesy little one-liners, just like the other movies had. And then the rest of it was set up for all the movies that will be coming out once a year until we are long dead.
See, I watched the Spike marathon this weekend. I sat and watched Empire front to back.
Okay.
Like all the witty, that made the whole movie. And oh my God, I just did it. We got mad that Kylo Ren was could fight, Finn and Rey, and not kill them in 3 seconds. Well, Vader was fighting Luke, barely half trained from a drunk Yoda, and he went up against Vader.
Which
All he did was like handstands and throw a couple. If you watch Empire again, he didn't do shit with Yoda. A couple handstands, a couple flips, and he like floated a rock.
Well, that was kind of a montage scene, Bob. I mean, it was supposed to be the, like he wasn't just there for a day.
He was there for a day. Yes, he was. And then he's gonna go fight Vader, and I know Vader like one hand. He's like, all right, come, you know. But still, Vader could have killed him in a second. And he chops his hand off, but he doesn't finish the job. The hell, Vader?
It's foreshadowing, Bob.
Whatever.
He's chopping his hand off so he could use it for biometrics.
Oh, at the,
and create facility. Luke.
Right, yeah, totally.
So stupid. So the biggest news of the week, I think, in the tech world is this fake news, right? And they got us.
They totally
If you think, hands in the room. If you're listening in your data center right now, if you thought CNN broadcasted porn –
like, or 30 minutes. And that, like,
for 30 minutes.
That's the part that should have jumped out and, like, reached out and slapped you, me, and everybody else right across the face immediately, that there was no way in hell that CNN was showing hardcore porn for 30 minutes and nobody called the control room. Nobody called. Nobody tweeted.
And all my conservative friends are like, ha, 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 proof that nobody watches that crap channel.
Right.
You know, then everyone else like go, that's not true. That's impossible.
The headline said CNN, and then if you dug into it, it said it was like an affiliate out of Boston, right? So did the 30-minute porn thing happen anywhere?
No.
Oh, no.
Apparently it was like one woman
person tweeted it who has now deleted their Twitter account.
Yeah.
Dude, it's a Russian operative.
But it goes
for all those fake news confirmed, right?
I swear to God, if I never hear those two words again, like I don't even want to read it. I don't even want to read effing Tom Clancy books anymore because I'm sick and tired of hearing Russian operatives and optical touch voting machines. And I just don't.
But it goes to tell you how, like, remember? Oh, yeah. God, I'm doing it again. We talked about. Like three tweets can be three tweets become viral news, like the Starbucks cup. And now again this year, 10 tweets does not constitute viral, but yet BuzzFeed picks it up. Then George Takei reposts it
and Slate
Esquire,
and then three other outlets pick it up and then
Drudge Report.
And so then everybody sits at the caveat. Did you hear? They're offended at the cup again. No, there's only 8 people like ever. You know, more people think the earth is flat, you know, like for crying out loud.
Right.
I want to kind of do that. How do we come up with a story that could go viral like that?
Do you have any friends at BuzzFeed?
Probably.
Oh. just put like – make a blog that say Trump shit his pants on his visit with North Korea or something.
.com.
They'll run with it. Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, my God, it's so funny.
You have a picture of him with that like look on his face that he always has.
Yeah,
it's
totally.
Totally believable.
That's the scene right there is where it – and it removed from his – no, I can't even
– anyway, go. Yeah, we're trying.
But one of the – we talk security all the time.
We do.
And – there was a quote that I read. I want to say it was from the state of Michigan. Out of all of their people that try to hack into the state of Michigan, like 30-40% are actual ransomware.
Yeah.
And now there's a thing out. Like you've gotten the fake friend request at Facebook and you accidentally hit okay. Then they send you the, you know, oh my God, I'm in trouble. Can you send me money?
Right.
Or I have a business opportunity. I just got one last week and I played with it because I wanted to see how far it would go. Like, I have this great business opportunity. I need 100 grand, or you just give me 8 now, and then I'll give you, you know. But, like, now the Locky, is it called? Ransomware? Yeah. Like, it's coming through Facebook Messenger, like, ad nauseum.
Through an image of all things that you would think, or, like, I mean, 95% of people would think is completely innocuous. But, nope, go ahead and click on it. See what happens.
Because apparently Facebook has this, like, super high-tech way to, like, whitelist URLs, right?
Yep.
So basically you click it and it's like a facebook.com/whatever, checks the URL, but apparently images don't get checked.
Nope.
But there's a certain type of image that's actually an XML file that you can embed JavaScript into, mm-hmm. and then you're done. It takes you to a site that looks like YouTube, and it says you must install a new codec, and then bam, all your files are encrypted, and you have to pay bitcoins.
Well, my buddy just
all your files are belong to us.
My buddy posted something on Facebook today. He goes, I got an email from Amazon, look like Amazon, said my order didn't go through. Please reprocess this.
Oh, and this would be the day to get hit with it.
Yeah, and he basically said, I didn't order anything from Amazon, but how many lazy assholes like me did? All of us.
Right.
That's my Black Friday. I sit on the couch and order crap.
Well, we were talking about
the Ninja coffee maker, by the way. I got like a
did
sweet
you
deal.
Really?
I totally did. Bo wanted it.
Oh, dear Lord. Well, all right, then you get a pass.
It doesn't have an app, though.
Well, it's like we were talking about the other day. Like, how many GoDaddy friggin' emails came through? Like,
fake ones, yeah.
I must have gotten like 13, 14 of them within an hour.
Why do they call me, by the way? You don't need to call me to ask how things are going.
Oh, GoDaddy,
they're
yeah,
going
I've
fine.
Never understood that.
That's an upsell attempt. You know that, right?
Yeah. But why? I register my domains with you. You don't need to. But it's like Meijer gas station calling me, going, "So, how's the gas filling up going, Bob?
Did you want a soda the next time you come in?
Yeah,
you
wanna, we got hot dogs.
We got coffee.
Hot dogs 2 for $3.
Your wife called.
Got the milk.
Can you re-enter your email address, please, for verification purposes?
Right. So, I had two just WTF stories from last week. One, I need someone to run this down for me. How in the ever-living hell did the – there's clearly too much weed available in Colorado. Clearly. The Denver Sheriff's Department got in trouble, got sued and lost – because they didn't hire non-citizens to be deputies. Now, let's run that down. So they were hiring deputies who are there to enforce and uphold laws, and they got in trouble because people who weren't U.S. citizens couldn't have those positions. I don't get it.
Pot. Hashtag pot.
I mean, is it? There's just too much weed in Colorado?
Totally. They've gone plaid. they've gone full hippie.
Yeah, because now not only did they have to pay a fine, but they have to go through everybody they declined to bring in for interviews and bring them in for interviews and find all that paperwork. And yet, it's going to be a friggin' logistical nightmare, I'm sure. I just got hired.
You know how many background checks and credit checks and I-9s?
Yeah.
I had to bring my SOCH card. You find your SOCH card. Go through that exercise. And then your kids' SOCH cards for insurance. I don't know where that crap is.
Well, it's like, think about the military. Can you join the military if you're not a citizen, if you're a resident alien?
No.
I wouldn't think so, no.
In any type of law enforcement job? I don't understand what's the story.
Yeah, I don't get it.
And why they're being penalized.
My
dad was military, but he was 6 months from getting a citizenship. Then he joined the military.
Yeah, I didn't get it. The other one, and this was a new term that, and again, this is look, middle-aged white guy, I just need to – just tell me what box you fit in and I'm good. And so I
– big one?
Yeah.
Giggity?
This whole – I had never heard the term trans-abled before. These are people who feel out of place in their normally abled bodies, and so they amputate things. Like they whack off an arm.
Like they have 11 fingers and they do that?
No. Like they're normal bodies.
Oh.
But they just feel like they shouldn't have an arm. So they go to wood shop and cut it off.
Oh. And I was reading the article and the guy said that he did it in a way that it was going to be impossible to reattach.
Yeah. I don't.
Yeah.
That was my,
Did he want a Luke Skywalker hand?
No. Uh-huh. No, he wasn't going for the cool arm from me, Nabel.
Oh.
No. It was just that one I didn't get at all.
Yeah, you, crickets, Dave. That was
sorry.
Way to bring the show down.
No, sorry. Okay, then one.
How about porn? Can we talk about porn?
Let's absolutely talk about porn.
England, what are you doing?
So it was like last week we talked about. They were doing something with age verification.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, against the electoral rolls.
Exactly. They're making you put your credit card number in. And this week the news comes out that the UK wants to censor quote. Non-conventional sex acts. So what is a non-conventional sex act?
So basically a bunch of old white guys had to sit in a room and define what these were. Go on.
Well, so apparently,
wasn't this that Larry Flint movie?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a really great movie. If you haven't seen it, super good.
It's phenomenal.
Pictures and videos that show spanking is one of the things that they say is if the spanking leaves a mark. Apparently that's non-conventional sex acts. And then there's a whole bunch of other things on the article that I probably shouldn't talk about because this is on my LinkedIn profile. But it's not that weird, okay? It's not that weird.
Right.
And whose business is it? What kind of porn anyone in the UK or anyone at all is into?
Thank God we fought a war.
But it's the sitting in the room. I'd rather watch the movie of them sitting around that room talking about it than actually watching the movie that they're trying to ban.
I can see it now.
That would be the most hysterical
conversation. Spanking, in or out.
What is it? And they go, there's the video. Oh! There's like that one woman in the back that's like, her scream says no.
There's actually something there that said that there was, quote, pornographic content that we would refuse to classify. So basically that's, oh. I'm going to throw my powdered wig.
I'd pay so much for that video. But Cards Against Humanity.
Love
you,
them.
You glorious bastards.
Every year they do something like this, and it's amazing.
They raised – this is what's funny. They raised $100,000 just to dig a hole.
Is there a point to the hole?
No.
Are you going to put something back in the hole?
No. And the best part is they have an FAQ, like basically like you dipshits. So one of
I read the, did you read the interview?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Like, why don't you donate it to charity? It's like, why don't you donate it to charity?
Yeah, instead of giving
money,
it to us, why don't you donate it to charity? Right?
You're giving us the
$5. We've told you we're just going to dig a hole.
And people like expect like, what is there going to be? Like the stupid, the Hatchimals or an SNES system's going to be in there that you can't get on Amazon.
Yeah, no.
You know, it's just a hole.
No.
Like, You ordered cow shit like last year.
Last year or 2 years
ago? They raised like $180,000 mailing, or technically bullshit.
At $30 a pop.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. And they did it again with, God, I forget what the hell it was, but they did it again. And people still do it. They send them money. I want to do that. Send me $10. Just for what?
And we'll dig a hole.
I'll burp in a microphone on a podcast. Just do it. I got a Kickstarter going.
And that was the thing. And you know, the longer you keep funding it, the longer Bob will keep burping. one of truly our favorite topics every time it comes up is when people are dumb enough to let the internet vote on things. So they have decided that Robert E. Lee Elementary School should no longer be named. Robert E. Lee.
It's like the cows. Yeah. PETA went South Park reference.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, the Civil War was bad and yada, 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 and we should never reference it or anything like that. So, of course, you know, one of our favorites, one of the suggestions that is coming in is Schooly McSchoolface.
That's my vote.
That absolutely love that one. We've got the Drew Brees Elementary.
Nah,
maybe last season.
Nah. I liked Bruce Lee Elementary. I think that was, yeah. John Cena Elementary School.
Yeah, exactly. That's a theme song. Yeah.
Donald J. Trump Elementary, maybe.
Yeah. My personal favorite, though, the Adolf Hitler School for Friendship and Tolerance.
Ooh. So currently in seventh place, I believe.
That's a close second place. Yeah. I'm going to vote for John Cena, I think. But hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be coming back with the guys from US Signal, and this is the IT in the D show, and we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Reads. Meets. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com. This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D show.
Welcome back. This is episode 174, segment 2, the one and only IT in the D show broadcasting live here in Podcast Detroit, beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Captain Soundboard, Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG. Find us online, itinthed.com. Shout out to Randy and Ian filling up the Twitters. Give us a follow. Give us a like on the Facebook. Subscribe on the iTunes and the Google Plays and the iOS and the Androids and all the things.
And the things and the stuff. And the, yeah.
Check the Meet tab. That's MEET, not MEAT, to find out where we are hanging out. December the 8th, Falling Down Beer Company. Bring a couple toys or don't. Have some beers. Have some laughs. Meet some IT folks. It'll be a good time. We are brought to you by the fine folks at – you got this one?
If you want me to, sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, this segment is brought to you by Indeed Prime. So Indeed Prime is a premium talent platform that matches elite tech top talent to top companies. Indeed Prime helps software engineers simplify their job search and land their dream job. Candidates get immediate exposure to the best tech companies with just one simple application. And when you're hired – I really love this part. Indeed Prime gives you a $2,000 bonus to say thanks for using Prime, but wait, there's more. But if you use our link, you get a $5,000 bonus. So that's $3,000 just for doing it our way. Which
five?
No, you get two anyway. Oh, yeah. You'll get five doing it our way.
The
so that's three for doing it our way. plus bonus. And, it's the VIG.
The best part, it's free though. It's not like $29 a month like some other services.
Exactly. You you post.
Free.
Yeah. So here's what you do. You go sign up now at Indeed.com/IT. Indeed Prime is 100% free for candidates and helps hiring managers discover available high quality talent. Again, learn more at Indeed.com/IT.
Do it. Seriously.
Do it now.
You said we never gave you anything. Seriously.
Yeah, I know. And if you get a job, you're buying all
the exactly.
Beer. You're taking us out to dinner at wherever we want.
I want crab legs.
I do too. Surf and turf.
Oh my God. Yeah, totally.
But hey, we are joined by our good friends at US Signal. We got Jerry Cull here, salesman extraordinaire, and Aaron Schaefer, the CTO and the chief cloud guy.
What is something along those lines?
CCG, the chief cloud guy,
chief cloud evangelist. I don't know. So, what is the cloud? No, I'm kidding. Before we get started, if you're not familiar with US Signal, I guess why don't you, Jerry? You've been there. I've known you for 15 years.
Yeah, I've been there since 14 years. So we've been around since 2000. We started off as a network services company as far as data infrastructure, providing wide area network, private lines, dedicated internet, Ethernet.
But you guys are actually trenching the fiber.
So we trench the fiber. We own a sister company called Turnkey Solutions as well that does the fiber construction and maintenance.
Did you guys buy them?
No, well, it's a long story.
Oh, I know the story.
We had an affiliation with the president at one time. Yeah, so our owner ended up taking over the business at one point. I can't even remember what year it was, but it was a while ago. But you know,
yeah, you guys have like 14,000 miles of fiber, like up.
Right. So originally how we started off was a network service provider, 14,000 route miles of fiber, 8 data centers. But really what's really evolved is, you know, that wide area network services become a commodity. You've got all the cable telcos involved, AT&T. Price points have really gone down a lot. So in 2011, we invested into the cloud. So we've traditionally always provided co-location services. So we got 8 data centers.
Which means they bought a sign for all their data centers. They went from data center and they it said data center,
the
Sharpie.
The cloud here, Jerry.
They put Sharpie line through data center and wrote cloud.
They bought a fog center. Machine at DJ Supply. So when you open the door, welcome to the cloud.
Yeah, my place. Totally.
We got some of that high tech stuff going on. So when you walk in, you do hit the cloud. You know, we got all those pyrotechnics going on and all that beautiful stuff. But no. Yeah, I shouldn't be using the word cloud. So yeah, so back in 2011, we decided to get in the cloud compute, even though I said it again, and storage. But then as we're talking with our customers, the more and more we're hearing from them, they wanted to know what else we could do for them. So we've always been known as being a high-touch, customer service-oriented company. We're headquartered in Michigan, debt-free, cash flow positive, always focused on the customer. So we always listened to the customer. They told us, hey, it's great you're involved with cloud compute storage, but with the network you own and the data centers, we'd like to have some solutions that help protect the business. So we got a backup recovery and DR as a service. And now we're leveraging all three areas. We're really working with a lot of customers. It's really taken off, done a great job. I mainly came here today to bring the beer, see Bob, and also introduce you to Aaron. Aaron's our CTO. He does a great job. He's got a background. So another thing with US Signal, instead of just doing network services, we started investing in the people too. So I'm more on the network side as far as my background. But over the last 5 years, I've learned a lot about where we're going with the future. But we've invested in the people. So we're all about the right people for the job. So we've gone out and recruited guys that have been CIO of healthcare organizations.
Explains why you didn't make it, Bob.
I said no, Dave. Get that right.
I need to clarify that. We did interview Bob, but the guy's too pricey. We wanted to bring him on.
See?
But this guy wanted a new Mercedes-Benz and PBR all year long. And we just
perks, man.
But Bob's a great guy. And he'll do great where he's going to go with online.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. So I wanted to bring Aaron in and talk a little bit about you know, what's going on
with technology. What he does with someone else's computer. Go.
What do we do with somebody else's computer?
No.
The cloud, we've really moved away from kind of the cloud nomenclature. That's really, I know that's a huge buzzword, and we kind of laugh, poke fun at it. And it really is just kind of computers in somebody else's data center. But like Jerry said, we kind of got into it back in 2011. And, you know, it was really about kind of technical speeds and feeds at that point. And we've really just seen, like, customers are totally burned out on that front.
And 2011 was probably pretty early for cloud entry, right? So you're probably still doing managed hosting and things like that, or no?
Yeah, yeah, form of it. You know, we had some multi-tenant environments as well for customers.
It's called VPS, right? Virtual Private Servers.
Yeah, yeah, that was a
pre-cloud,
pre-cloud nomenclature for the server.
And Cisco was trying to coin the term fog.
Cisco,
it's like where you're at before you get to the cloud. Yeah. Good thing fog computing hasn't taken off.
Or
has it? I know. That's what I said.
I think that's kind of where we're at. Fog computing.
No one knows.
Right. Exactly. That's really what we're kind of focused on. Is there's a lot of customers that kind of buy into the hype of the cloud and want some of the cost savings, or they just don't have the IT staff that can handle
it. Don't want to be in the data center business anymore.
No, it's that they don't want to wait for server guy and storage guy and network guy to all call each other and turn up a server where I can put my fancy little Amex in, this fancy little portal, and I can get a fancy server stood up in 2 days.
Well, you say that, but if you're in a big enough company, they still take 30 days to provision a damn VM. So, it may not be always a technology problem.
Sure. No, I never said it was. But, waka waka.
Waka waka.
Exactly. No, but shadow IT's become a huge problem. Do I go controllerless? Do I put my controller in the cloud? Well, we need to be compliant. Well, I don't know. Are you? It's a never-ending conversation of where you actually go.
Yeah, it's really just not about the technology anymore. There's so much, revolutionary technology out there. Customers just can't consume it fast enough. And then to operationalize it inside of their own IT departments, it's really not a limitation of the technology. It's the business rules, the service delivery of how people provision it and consume it internally. And that's really where we've kind of changed our practice from the speeds and feeds around, IaaS or SaaS or whatever people are calling it, to really helping customers develop a strategy of how they're going to handle their internal technology and how to get from point A to point B. And so we spend a lot of time around that, working on the strategy with customers. And, we're pretty transparent with them. There's places where, hosted data center services make sense, and there's areas where it doesn't. And, I think more and more it's kind of a hybrid of the two, and just figuring out what makes sense for the organization and how they can meet their business objectives. And so the cloud's a little bit more of a mindset than it is just a server and somebody else's data.
It's not a product, right? It's basically, you're right, it's a mindset.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at, we talked to a customer before that spent eight figures on a data center, and they realized, they looked through usage, and they were at 40% capacity at their all-time high on this amazing thing they bought. And
they should have rented some of that out for Fandango to use trying to sell tickets.
Did Fandango crash?
Oh, a lot of people were saying that it crashed all over the place.
Or Canadian immigration. I think they had some problems.
Right.
Yeah.
But they realized, so then they could take all of their things, put it in someone else's computer, right? And be like at 8% per year.
Sure.
Of what they invested in that data center. So,
But mine.
President wants to see the green blinking lights.
But mine. Yeah.
No, they slipped a CIO magazine on his flight, and he saw, should we go to the cloud? I think we should go to the cloud.
I think it's fewer and fewer CEOs want to see the blinky lights. I think it's more the folks that have their hands in it every day want to see the blinky lights.
Oh, yeah. Customers are getting out of the data center business. They're definitely doing what you were saying.
Well, I've been talking about, we've been talking about this. Jerry, you've probably been talking about it as long as I have, too, for 10 years. And I finally think it's come to, over the last three, four, that it's actually happening where they're actually doing it. It was like a great talk in theory, and it was a cool talking point at a meeting.
Right.
Like, I remember talking SDN 8 years ago, and I realize this is a future, but let's start talking about it. Like, why? Sell what's on the truck. That was the old HP guy's famous moniker. But again, you get so far ahead of yourself, you forget what's going on right now.
Yeah, and there's a lot of customers that are even moving to, private cloud technology just to move more to that mindset without necessarily shipping things outside their data center. So moving to the cloud doesn't mean you're getting rid of all your gear or not hosting it anymore. It means you're just kind of moving to that new mindset of how you're going to deliver services to the business. And that's really where we've been able to help customers a lot is, individually a customer's going to have this experience of moving from more of the traditional IT environment to a consumption model one time. We get to see that with a lot of different customers. And so I think that's really where we're building our practice out, is helping customers do it internally externally doing a hybrid of the two and kind of what are the pitfalls and how to manage that strategy change.
What would you say that is? Like, what are the big pitfalls that it seems like every organization hits?
Yeah, I think one of the big pitfalls is the idea that it's just a, you know, somebody else's computer in a different data center. That's your mess for less kind of thing. A lot of it's just really poorly run IT environments. If you pick it up and shift it into the cloud, it's still just a really poorly
run. If your
run.
Application sucks, it's still going to suck in the cloud.
It's still going to suck in the cloud.
Yeah, that web service, yeah.
Yeah, you know, we do a lot of compliant services for banking and healthcare, and we had one customer that was moving in on a lot of servers, and they're like, this is great. We're moving it into a HIPAA-compliant environment. And they had about 1,100 Windows 2003 servers.
Oh.
And, you know, that was quite an explanation to, you know, kind of help them understand just because you move it, you know, into a cloud environment doesn't make it HIPAA compliant. You got to think of it as like HIPAA ready. You still have to, you know, have appropriately built.
But your facility is
systems.
PCI compliant, so we can store all of our credit card numbers in plain text in your SQL server, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Ooh.
Right. So it's kind of helping customers through those things. And really, I think it's the exercise of moving from one service to the other service appropriately can help them overhaul their environments. And then obviously they gain a lot of efficiencies with it as well from cost or disaster recovery perspective, especially if IT departments are understaffed or don't have the infrastructure that we have on hand.
Which is 99.99%
of understaffed, yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Everyone's stretched. Yeah.
And that's – so where we try to come in is there's obviously things we're never going to get into as far as how customers run their business specifically. That's all – you know, we call that institutional knowledge, what you know about your company. We'll never, you know, kind of fill that gap. It's all the things that are just keeping the lights on, running backups, making sure the broken power supplies get replaced, the, you know, network redundancies in place, things that we can do that allow customers to refocus those staff on things that actually create business value.
Hmm. So would you say that it's mostly small companies that, or who was, I guess, the first adopter of the shift to cloud? And would you say, is it pretty much all companies at the same rate nowadays, or what would?
No, different folks are at different places in it. We work mainly with commercial and enterprise customers. There's obviously a lot of, you know, really small customers that were probably earlier adopters that might go kind of the credit card swipe model. We really work with customers that kind of have strategic IT operations, you know, that have a CIO, that are making decisions about where they want to move their business and how that impacts their various business lines. So we kind of fall in that area and can really partner with them. And a lot of times, you know, as we're working with them, it's kind of a two-year relationship just to get the IT strategy in such a way that they're even ready, whether it's on-premise or off-premise, to consume cloud services. It's not something that you just look at the speeds and feeds on it and the price compared to buying your, you know, off-the-shelf server and make a decision one way or the other. You really have to prepare your environment for it.
Hmm. And then thinking about kind of what you guys do, since you're taking all of that off of a customer themselves and you're basically taking on that whole, now you have to upgrade, you have to keep up with the new technologies. Kind of what's your strategy for kind of staying up with the market and kind of, you know, keeping moving forward, making it easier for you guys as well as your customers?
Yeah, so you know, I guess there's probably a couple different avenues to that. Obviously, you know, staying out with customers and listening to what they need and what their challenges are is, you know, a really big part of my role. One of the things that we'll have that most, you know, mid-sized customers won't ever have is a research and development division of our organization. And so it's just simple things like that that, you know, most companies just aren't ever going to be able to have that, to research the new technology.
Yeah, they all say they want a Skunk Works, but it never.
We're all busy keeping the lights on. Yeah, totally.
Right. And if you are, you probably should be looking at, you know, like your ERP or whatever your line of business application is that actually represents value to your company, not, you know, what the latest hypervisor edition is and virtual hardware tools you should be running on it. So,
but that's important.
It's fun, but I don't know that, you know.
But they said at VMworld that I need it.
Right, exactly. Yes. Yep.
Some guy on Reddit said I had to have it.
They bought me beers at the casino in Vegas.
They must be honest guys.
Yes, exactly. So we can kind of vet through some of that technology, figure out what makes sense for, you know, solving real challenges, and then test it, put some architectures around it that we actually know work. Because that's one thing we're on the hook for delivering it. That makes it a little different than just selling technology to customers who have to implement it themselves. And, you know, can kind of bring some of this technology to the masses faster than if you have to evaluate all of it yourself and then train staff and then put it in and figure out what you were promised and what you weren't. And, you know, we've got it working and it's ready to go for customers.
I can't even imagine that, trying to keep up with all those new technologies to make your life easier, but while keeping a transparent service available to a customer. They don't care that you may be using the newest firmware on your brocades, right? I mean, they just want to know that are my VMs working? Is my storage there, right?
Yeah.
So that's got to be crazy. A lot of fun probably too.
Yeah, and there's obviously, you know, there's vendor relationships that we have to manage.
So vendors take you out for drinks at casinos too?
They don't. they try, certainly, yeah. Right, because I think that's the big thing, you know, what you think of insert OEM's name here. They're starting to see the writing on the wall. Customers just aren't buying as much product as they were selling before. And so they're starting to see cloud service providers and hoping they can sell gear there. So definitely a big push.
That's why I got destroyed at Cisco, because they're like, we're going to be a software company. It's like, well, no, you're a route switch company.
But are you really just changing where the PO is coming from? I mean, okay, so it's not coming from the customer, but it's coming from the cloud service providers because they're still ramping up to manage those same needs just from a different location.
Yeah, well,
but the remember when I talked about no, you don't need quite as big of a data center.
Yeah,
you know, when you talk about consumption economics, which is the whole key driver to this whole thing,
right?
It's mass, it's scale.
Yeah,
it's
we're able to run data centers at a lot higher, you know, load than what you normally would. But the other thing is just the hardware has been built for individual, or the software has been built for individual customers. So a lot of them don't support multi-tenancy. And as a service provider, we scale up as customers buy services from us. We don't buy the next 5 years' worth of storage and dump it in a data center.
Why would you? Yeah.
So OEMs are struggling with how to pivot their products to support the new customers, which are the service providers.
Interesting.
Well, it was the risk thing, not to cut you off, Dave, but it was always a risk. In the beginning, the customers – took all the risk, right? They built these massive data centers, went to 20% capacity, 40% capacity. They shifted that to the service providers. Now the service providers are trying to shift that risk to the OEM.
Yeah.
And the OEM's not having it. They're buckling.
They don't know how to do that. Some do. There's some service providers out or OEMs out there that really understand this and that work, you know, really well with us. They're not your traditional names that you might think of. But that's one thing that we just get because of the, you know, scope of the services that we provide is a much larger risk pool. When we take on risk, you know, if we don't use capacity for a certain customer, we'll use it for another one. Whereas if you buy it yourself, you just own it.
So. Sure.
Yeah, I was intrigued. I like the concept of DR as a service. I mean, that's one of those things that, you know, anybody who's been responsible for IT planning and that kind of stuff, that's always – especially at a larger company, one of the bigger pains in the ass you have to deal with is, you know, what's your DR plan? What's, you know, and you have to go through that exercise once a year of, okay, let's fake a disaster recovery scenario.
Exactly.
And yada, yada. So, I mean, so like how is that catching or is that?
Yeah. So we have pretty tremendous growth in that area. You know, pretty much every customer we go in and I talk with a lot of them, big to small, that have their artificial DR plans that they test.
That'll never, ever,
auditors and, you know,
but won't actually work if something bad happens. Yeah.
Right. We're all familiar with those. Goes back to the point, you know, we were talking about earlier. They need to focus on projects that drive business value.
Right.
And DR is not necessarily one of those. And so
what happens if a tornado, an earthquake, and a hurricane
and
all happen?
So
dude, do you remember? God, me too. And this was, I'm going to go with about 10 years ago now. I'm sitting in a meeting and I literally get asked, okay, well, why did you pick to put this in the data centers in Chicago and LA? Mm-hmm. I said, all right, well, I said, okay, let's talk this through. Different lines, different power grids, different. Yeah. I said, remember? The outage in 2003. Uh-huh. You know, it took out from Chicago east.
Yep.
I said, so we've got the one in LA. They were like, well, but what if something happens and Chicago and LA both go dark? I'm like, then we probably have bigger issues than whether or not someone can make a car payment.
Crazy questions like that. I was at an unnamed customer, and they said, well, what's your plan if we lose the southern half of the United States?
Duck and hide.
Like, I guess we'd just run away. I don't know.
Buy beachfront property in Ohio?
Yeah. Right. There's certain contingency plans that
aren't
practical.
Well, and that's what it always comes down to is possibility versus probability. Is it possible that can happen? Yeah. Yes. Is it probable? No. And if you really want to plan for that, here's what it's going to cost you.
Yeah, and we call that smoking hole, right?
Yeah.
So if you know that that's a lot of customers when I come in, that's what they'll want to talk about first is what happens if the data center disappears. That rarely, very rarely happens. It's going to be things like, you know, a big one that we work with customers on right now is CryptoLocker. And it's going to be a portion or all of their environment that
gets locked. Yeah.
Gets locked. And what are you going to do in that situation? The data center is still completely operational from a hardware perspective, but nobody can.
But you can't touch your stuff.
Can't touch your stuff. Right? And our DR services protect customers. And we've had quite a few failovers. And most of our failovers recently have been from customers who have been hit with a CryptoLocker.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's going to be the worst nightmare scenario.
We could talk about this stuff to the end of time, but we are up on a break. Jerry, Aaron, appreciate you guys coming out. You can find you guys at ussignalcom.com. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with Jake and John from Tome Software talking all things IoT.
Whee.
This is the IT and the D show, and we'll be right back.
IT and the D. Read, meet, listen. Networking Detroit. One beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Brittany Daniel from The Game, and you're listening to IT in the D Show.
ITinTheD.com. This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D Show.
Welcome back. Thank you again for listening. This is segment 3, episode 174. Isn't that nuts to you thinking about that? 174. We've done this every Monday for like 3.5 years. This is the IT and the D show.
Isn't this 173?
I don't know. I put 74 on the thing.
I got 73 on my notes.
Ah, for crying out loud.
Next week you'll be so excited, though, because it's our legendary 174th episode.
Yeah. Okay. It is 173.
Okay.
I had to mess up once.
You know how my brain is. I could have easily been wrong.
We are broadcasting live here in Studio One Podcast Detroit, beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob, the sales guy, hanging out with Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG. Thank you, Randy and Ian, filling up the Twitter with all the links from today's show. And do us a favor, go to itandthed.com, and you can find us at all the things.
Yep. And our event on 12/8 at Falling Down Beer Company, so that's next Thursday at this point. It should be good. God love Dennis. It's Quick Stop Comics now, who's apparently coming out with a truckload of Matchbox cars, et cetera, for the kids. So, yeah.
Can I have the toilet one like I did last year?
It depends on what he brings. I don't know what he's bringing.
You guys guilted me so bad that I couldn't keep the toilet matchbox.
Because it was for the kids.
I know. I get to have one. It's like Loot Crate. Dad gets to have one, and you can have the rest of the crap.
And then the kid who didn't get one. We'll send him your.
There's
we'll
no
send you his
sad
picture.
Kid that didn't get a toilet matchbox car. That would have went amazing on my desk. You guys suck. Hey.
All right, hey, before we get rolling, this segment is brought to you by Lenovo. So imagine you have guests coming to your house, but only one bedroom. So what if you could order an extra bedroom for your guests that you could remove after they leave? That's the idea behind Lenovo's next generation data centers built for cloud computing. You see, the cloud is all about – we've said the cloud far too much in this episode. Let's just get that out of the way. It's all about giving your company the ability to expand and contract server space on demand without actually adding more hardware. Lenovo understands that on-demand access can give your company a tremendous competitive advantage. Think about it. The faster you can scale up, the faster your dev team can test new applications, and that means you can get new product features into market faster. But that kind of flexibility is worthless if your servers are down. Fandango. Lenovo servers are number one in reliability and performance because you don't have time for downtime. If you're feeling handcuffed by proprietary hardware and software relationships, Lenovo systems allow you to partner with leading software providers to ensure your cloud solution is best in class. Lenovo systems can even integrate with legacy software platforms to help get your cloud solution up and running quickly. Learn more about how Lenovo is transforming the data center at www.lenovo.com/datacenter.
Do it.
Woo.
Right now.
Go do it.
Yeah, do it.
Well, keep listening to us, but go check that out too.
Right, yeah. Exactly. But hey, we are joined by Jake and John from Tome Software, and we're talking about IoT crockpots and go. I'm kidding. No, you guys got a pretty good story. Now talk to me, I guess, how Tome Software got started and what you guys are doing.
Yeah, no, thanks. Thanks so much for having us. It's awesome, you know, representing locally in the D and great talking tech. So I'm really happy to have John Murch, my main engineering guy here with me and kind of backing me up a little bit.
Because, he's here to keep you honest.
Well, you know, we have this rule at Tome that we have to hire people smarter than us. So by definition, I'm therefore the dumbest guy in the company.
There's so, no way you'd hire me ever.
You know, I can tell you that, you know, having John around is just awesome and, you know, the rest of our engineering staff. And I think that a lot of what we're seeing here in southeastern Michigan around innovation and just, you know, bringing in people that get it, you know, that are actually down to, you know, getting their hands dirty and building stuff. And whether it's, you know, business relationships and trying to, you know, change things that way, or just really getting into the tech. So really exciting stuff, and just happy to be here. I'd love to be on the show, guys.
Well, I mean, Detroit's always had a reputation as a builder town. I mean, whether it was, you know, cars or, you know, World War II, the military infrastructure and all that stuff. And I think that's what a lot of people are missing, although not as much anymore because the word's getting out, that there are people here that want to get their hands dirty with tech and just build stuff.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I could tell you one of the things that, you know, we talk about is kind of cool is when it comes to building stuff, and we were talking a little earlier in the show about just, you know, staying core to your core business. Well, I'm sure most of the listeners out there, you guys are familiar with Google's 20%. They offer, yep, like any of the employees, they can kind of do whatever they want. Well, you know, if you do that, then and you're not Google, you may not be in business, you know, especially with the profit margins and everything else we're at.
Right.
So, you know, we have this really cool thing called Lab Day.
Your weekend. Well, is what we call it.
That's your lab day. I'm talking about for the company. We have a company lab day. And, you know, it's really looking at ways where everyone kind of learn a little bit, try something a little bit different, and no emails, and just kind of do whatever you want. We even tell our customers that, you know, hey, it's lab day. So we don't book meetings, and short of something blowing up or going down, we don't have it there. And, you know, John is like, he probably wins more lab days between you and Eric Barge, like probably to anybody else. And, you know, you want to talk a little bit just about just how we kind of bring that process in, and how we want to make sure that we're pushing things and building things always.
Sure. Yeah, no problem. So basically every month we get one full day, the second, or I guess Monday, of full day to work on code, kind of whatever. We group up in the beginning, talk about kind of ideas, different things we may look at learning. And then the next day we get to present that and talk about it.
Well, I mean,
so it's like your own internal company hackathon?
Yeah, in a sense. So like... like, you know, it could be something that you just want to build or you have an idea of and just run with it.
You just posted one, right? I mean, you have one up on our lab section of the website. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, so I am quite a code hoarder.
No, because I want to build it.
Well, this one's already built and up on GitHub. But
yeah, so everyone can download it and mess around, contribute, make it a little better. You know?
Yeah, so I mean, for myself, it's kind of funny. I like to download, you know, check out code, upload it. And so I have a folder just of various code snippets here and there. And what I wanted to do was just create a gallery and be able to view it. But I didn't want to actually, you know, come up with a quick way to rename everything or something like that. So create a generator, I'm able to create screenshots from it and be able to kind of view it. So
are you messing around with the Apollo 11 code that just got released to GitHub?
No, but I have seen
The old Unix code.
Yeah,
it was
totally
awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that, like, you know, a big part of that for us is just making sure that, you know, everyone can play around and, you know, everyone else in the company gets a, you know, company credit card, which is a small company that's kind of cool. So, you know, I tell everyone, like, listen, you know, if you want to, you know, buy anything and mess around, as long as it's under a certain amount of money, depending on, you know, how long you've been in the company and how much I trust you, which is, you know, I guess if anyone's listening from my company, like, man, Jake must really not like me. But, yeah, you know, we kind of like allow people to buy new stuff and try new things. And then out of our lab day process, we do this thing called Tome Alpha. So it's a way of bringing new solutions. So at Tome, we're really passionate about the problems. And that's something that I think that is very unique around Detroit. And it's not like people don't care about problems in New York or don't care about problems in Silicon Valley. But, you know, the ego is just really lower, you know, down in this area. And I feel like we can rally around problems and rally around opportunities. So when we're building solutions, like we're less passionate about our solution than we are about just solving the problem. So like a lot of what we work on with our company is just being able to change the way people think. And, you know, we work with massive companies like Ford Motor Company and with NASA we do work with, and like these really cool companies that have really big opportunities.
Well, yeah, as background, Tome is not your first company. You've already sold one off and I believe it was acquired by Ford.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And but again, even with that, it's like we were so passionate at Livio, which, by the way, it's in Royal Oak. It's actually right down the street from where we're at right here in the studio. And they're still doing their thing. They're still an independent subsidiary. And it goes to show how passionate we were about the problem of people texting and driving and getting apps safely in the car and not being reliant on whatever Apple and Google were going to do. So we had another option, which is, you know, if you're really interested in checking it out, it's called Smart Device Link, SDL. And really cool stuff. It's part of what Ford's been operating within that you maybe probably heard on TV, like the Ford Sync system.
Yep.
So, but again, going back to that problem thing is like, you know, being real passionate about those problems and sharing, you know, how you're going to solve them. That's what makes a difference. And that creates really just like opportunity and purpose in the work that we do. And, you know, whether you're a shop of 12 people or a shop of, you know, 112,000 people, that's something that you can really instill, is allowing people to kind of pursue noble efforts. So that's a big part of what we're doing here. And I think what we like to share around, you know, Metro Detroit for sure.
So, I mean, what sort of stuff, you know, for those who aren't familiar with them, like what products do you have out now? What should people be keeping an eye out for, and what are you working on?
Okay, cool. Well, I can't talk too much about what we're working on because a lot of it is like with large companies, and,
right?
You know, and CES is
damn NDAs.
Well, it's, I got to tell you, like with CES around the corner, it's a big launch time, everything else. But a couple of things, and you know, John and I are working on this project with Human Scale. They're a major furniture company. They sell to, you know, just about every big name in the business when it comes to ergonomic furniture. I got into this where we bought the sit stand desks for our employees at Livio, like the desks go up and down, right?
Right.
And I think we got the crappiest, cheapest ones we could find at the time, and I bought one for the conference room, right? And then we put it in the corner and it was like, hey, if you want to stand, you can like go over in the corner and stand and do your thing. Well, it got hogged. And then like everyone's like, well, I want a sit stand desk. So we got a conference room kind of like the one we're in now with like, I don't know, 6-7 people around it. And we got these desks that kind of cluster together, and it became really social. So like one person would go up and it was like, you know, Judge Judy, like all rise, and like they all go, just kind of go up, right? And I kind of had this like light bulb moment that I'm like, I've never met somebody. Now you might be listening to this thinking, you know, this is like sit stand desk or whatever. But like I've never met somebody. And if you're one of those people who kind of skeptical about it, ask someone if it has a sit stand desk, if they could ever go back to not having a sit stand desk. I challenge you.
Yeah.
And you know, if you find somebody, you can tweet me at Jake Siegel, and I will send you a T-shirt if you find someone that actually would never go back.
I would never stand up at a desk. So I don't count.
You don't count because you haven't had one.
I never stand up at a desk.
I like the flexibility. Like I walk around all day on conference calls. Like I'll take my call, walk around my house, I'll pace.
Yeah.
So what's the difference of like kind of staying?
I walk in a circle.
Well, and it's one of those. I'm tired of sitting and working on whatever. I want to stand up, and I want to, you know,
And
as long as there are any damn yoga balls like to sit on, like this is the chairs.
We actually have some weird stuff like that we work with too. So we get the full gamut of like, you know, things that are. I mean, nothing. It's not like we have Segways zipping around or robots or anything, but. So these desks exist, right? So the light bulb moment for us was like, no one was doing this. And I Google searched like sit stand desk tracking software or, motivational things. And this was like right when Fitbits came out, nothing was out there. So we built this product, and that's what, you know, John is one of the system architects on. It's called Office IQ, and it is basically like your Fitbit for a sit stand desk. And we sell this to companies that have wellness programs. So it saves you money on your healthcare insurance by having like a Fitbit, by counting steps. And we've also proven, we've got some data, which I can't talk too much about. We're going to be announcing that in a few months, just showing how effective having software that reminds you based on what you like, sit, stand, to get you up, or if you're staying too much, sit down. Now, you might be like, okay, that's a little odd and that's weird. What are we talking about here? We're talking about a pound a year that you're cutting of calories in addition to what you're already burning just by standing up. And one of the like little features that's really cool about it is we have this software, this little Tome Owl Buddy that's on the top of your Mac or PC. And this owl will tell you, okay, it's time to sit up and stand up, or time to sit down. It is not the state. No, it's not the paper clip from Microsoft. So,
you know, I was saying, it's damn clippy. Yeah,
it looks like you're standing up.
Yeah, exactly. Now, it's exactly not that. Now, one of the little tiny details we put into this thing is that using the the OS notifications that we know whether you're typing or not. We don't know what you're typing. It would be super creepy. We have an official policy called "Don't be creepy" with our data, but. If we just do little things like, you know, if you're using a Wacom tablet and you're using Photoshop, or if you're coding, or if you're typing an email, we're going to wait till you're done typing just to give you that notification. Your Apple Watch doesn't do that. Your Fitbit doesn't do that.
Oh, nice.
So when we talked earlier about before the show.
So it's not an interruption.
Exactly. And you can shut it off. So if you don't want this on, you're on do not disturb mode, no problem. And that's what we're talking about before the show. And I you know, we like to say, and we were mentioning earlier, but I was like, no connected crock pots. You know, we say we don't do connected crock pots. We don't do fart apps at home. You know, we really focus on ways that, you know, really make a good difference. And we have the data to prove it, that people like these products. And it's not for everybody. You know, not everybody's going to love, you know, sit stand. But what we found is that people that especially are chained to their desk all day, not sales folks. We're talking about customer service.
Coders,
we're talking about reception, right? We're talking about coders, developers. You know, those are the types of folks that, I mean, employers are not standing up for their employees' health. And this gives them the option. And, you know, aside from, you know, the calorie benefit, it really helps reduce lower back pain too, which is a big point. So that's one of our products. We work with a variety of customers, and that same model where we look at products they've been making for 50, 100 years and really looking at ways to help connect those products to create a better experience for the user. You know, very customer first, as you were talking earlier, very customer first attitude and mantra about what we're trying to do here.
So like for stuff like that, like are you partnering with the companies that are making the desks, or are you looking at aftermarket relationships with the companies that are buying the desks?
So it's both, actually. And that's one of the unique things about our model is that we partner with the companies that are in the furniture business. And that company, so with HumanSkill, for example, we did the electrical design and we did the software design. And, you know, John was responsible for all of our – what's the right term for this? Back-end architecture and, you know –
yeah, the DevOps org.
Exactly. So you tell he's the tech guy. So we developed all that, and then we licensed that to HumanSkill, the furniture company, okay. And they go out and do the manufacturing. So all the working capital for building it, the manufacturing, the distribution, all of the relationships with – you know, they sell to very large corporations that, you know, have their facility and space planners. That's not our business. You know, we don't know that intimately. I mean, I went to their big furniture show called Neocon in Chicago, and I was totally a fish out of water.
I went to that many years ago.
I was so underdressed at this show. Let me tell you, like I was like, I had to go get like seriously like wardrobe updates just to, you know, be out there. But I'm telling you, these are some super passionate people about their industry, and they knew nothing about like connectivity. And, you know, they probably a few of them personally own Fitbits, but as soon as something plugs in, unless it's a power strip. In fact, we lost this is an interesting story. We entered the competition for Innovation Award, and there's us and there's this other really cool company called Stir. They make great products, and their founder was on the original iPod team. And, you know, really they do this like really cool desk goes up and down, and, you know, we're more on the solutions integration. But so both of us were battling head to head for this Innovation Award at the furniture industry, and we all lost to a company that made a freaking power strip. And, you know, I got to tell you, like, that was so
how
awesome.
Innovative can a power strip be? I have to ask.
I'm assuming it's the design, but I'll tell you, that brought us together, because when you went and you're going head to head with a company, but you realize that what you can do within an industry, especially when you're bringing in like ways to connect hardware and services to create a better experience,
right.
Which is the annoyingly vague term of Internet of Things,
yeah.
Right? And it's super annoying. That allows us to kind of come together and say, you know, we can move this industry forward. And when we work with our customers, we help them move their industry forward. And it's not always our industry. It's really their products and services and moving it. And that's a big part of that ability. I mean, if you try doing it yourself, you do like a Kickstarter desk, and there are some out there. I mean, John, you were just putting a report on us the other day, and it's tough. It's tough. I mean, you're working with an incumbent and helping them go fast and participating in their success, and that's allows you to move the needle a lot quicker when it comes to products.
Well, they're already good at making their primary product, right? You're just figuring out that's the why, right?
Exactly. Yeah. We like to say the why of IoT, another little buzzword we throw out there.
So. Well, it's crazy. Like you look at Blue Smart, the luggage. They put in a battery charger and a scale and a GPS tracker.
And the handle, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And they raised like $10 million or something on Kickstarter. It's like, yeah. Kidding me?
Actually, I heard you talking about it, but I wasn't here taking notes and stuff. I was dreaming about the internet connected bed that, you know, when you hit snooze, it will turn on your coffee pot.
No, it was a app making coffee.
Oh,
like make a perfect cup of coffee.
Now, there's now an internet connected
coffee
bed.
Maker. Yeah. No. But
the bed talks to your phone.
Oh, for crying out loud.
I think it's a really bad joke about an IP address by putting a little kid into an internet connected bed.
Right.
Well, back to you guys.
I feel like good segue.
Speaking of don't be creepy with your data, right. The internet connected bed. Yeah.
I feel like you guys are kind of hackerspace meets company, right? Is that kind of what you guys do? Sit around and figure out how to make cool shit even cooler? Or do companies come to you? Kind of how's your intake process work?
Yeah, I would say there's kind of twofold to that. One is it's refreshing in a sense that you could come up with ideas and kind of run with them and push them out. So we have a process like Alpha Day where we have projects that have moved from kind of lab day or kind of ideas that we've come up with and get a focus on that and build those into a product. So we're working on a few of those. Can't really talk about that.
Well, the process wise about like, you know, how we build really cool things, it's more about solving really cool problems. And, you know, there's an old story, like, you know, I went to school in industrial engineering and they teach you about like looking outside the box. And there's this old, like they call it the Otis elevator story. Any guys hear that one before? Like the Otis elevator problem. Mm-hmm. So maybe for the listeners who haven't heard it, I'll give you the short version. So I heard it was in Chicago and they, you know, built the elevators and people were complaining they took too long. So all these engineers came in and tried to find ways where elevators would skip floors or one would go up, one would go down. And the solution to the problem was installing mirrors because people look at themselves in the mirror and they forget, they don't realize how long they're waiting. So,
come on.
Yeah.
No, really?
Yeah.
I always thought it was like a creepy dude in the back that was, you know, like the bar saloon mirrors.
The TSA agent from South Park?
Yes.
By the way, so if you're in an elevator or you're actually in an elevator bank waiting for it, you'll always notice there's something shiny in front of you. Usually there is a mirror right there.
Yep.
And that's why it's there and they always put the windows facing out. And we really talk to every one of our new – we have a thing called Tome, the Hatch program. So when somebody's new coming in – Tome's our – we have our Tome Owl. We hatch, you know, new employees that come in. Then we have the Tome Nest where we do a lot of learning. And we talk about this example because we want to be focused on the problem and not the solution. I said that earlier is that, you know, we don't get passionate about our solutions. We're passionate about the problems. And that's really exciting. And we encourage people even outside the company to come up with better ways to do it because it's all about pushing things forward.
Well, I mean, it's like, you know, I always loved how Wrigley's Chewing Gum was born. I mean, I don't know if people know this, but it was Wrigley Tire Company. The guy made tires for cars and he noticed that all of his employees were walking around chewing little bits of rubber. And so he said, hey, you know what? I could add a flavor to that and sell it. And he stopped being a tire company.
Wow. I'm trying to wonder if someone can chew on any of the products we're making. You know, we can add sugar.
Definitely not.
No, probably not. Probably be too safe. But, you know, I think that, you know, again, like with what we're doing at Tome Software, it's really, you know, just connecting services to hardware. And that's the technical end. But, you know, when you use a product that we're involved in, it's around a better experience. And we look to the experts. I mean, we want to be working with the people that have the knowledge. They have the gray hair to prove it. And they know their business. They know their space.
Well, and one of the things you specifically called out was bringing IoT to legacy tech. So talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, I mean, with the desk example, it's, you know, being able to sensor and we also have a product for chairs even. So that's probably a better one where we have a caster like, the wheels of a chair. And it knows whether you're sitting or in the chair or out of the chair with a weight sensor. Very simple.
But mine's screaming, help. How many of you are on me?
Which, by the way, we actually had one customer ask, like, well, you know, can we get an indicator if the battery dies? So we do get a lot of those. Again, in the furniture world, you get a lot of these unusual questions that come in. And the idea that was pretty simple is that, you know, if you can start looking at occupancy in conference rooms, something very simple that a lot of companies have booked conference rooms from, you know, if you're listening to this and how many times have you had your, you know, VP book conference room every week from this time, he or she's out, you know, on a
and they use it once out of those
exactly.
12 weeks.
Two yeah. people and instead of the 12 seats that are in there.
Yeah. Right. I got to tell you, I was blown away with, I had no idea that they're spending over $100,000 a year for a conference room in New York City. That's the cost for floor space. I mean, that's incredible. So, you know, you're talking like legit cost savings by upgrading chairs
that nobody would think about.
Exactly. So, I mean, for our customers, they're not buying it because it's a sexy cool product. I even saw you were talking about like weird crockpot stuff. I saw, I think it was Engadget. There was like a $1,200 connected iron that was out there like ironing your clothes. And what? Like, I was like,
good
man,
Lord,
that's
Googling this.
Yeah, look at connected smart iron. It's unreal. And
it's bad enough. I just spent $34 on two Wemos, and which is like a 2016 version of the clapper.
Yeah.
That we all mocked everyone for, and it's really there's no because I my kids go Alexa, turn on living room one,
yeah.
And they turn on, and it's like it's clap on clapper.
It is,
you know,
not
it's
clapper.
So stupid.
But at least we know this and we move on.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. So I mean, when you're saying about like retrofitting products, it's really more about like what's that new experience for office. And, you know, with the work we're doing with Ford Motor Company, a lot of that's around mobility products. So we worked on some connected bicycles. And, you know, Ford's not a bicycle company. You know, they're really looking at mobility and offering transportation.
Right.
So we were part of a large team, which was mostly the Ford team, working on these bikes. And we showed it at Mobile World Congress about a year and a half ago. And it was really talking about like different experiences. So, for example, we had this thing called No Sweat Mode. So we put these pedal assist motors inside of bicycles and a heart rate monitor and a helmet. So if you wanted to bike into work and you're like, you know, John's from New Jersey originally, and I mean, it'd be a bit of a bit of a long commute in the city, but let's say you're right outside the city coming across where you might say, look, I'm willing to bike a mile or two. I'm not going to bike five, and I don't want to be sweaty coming in, or I'm in San Francisco. I don't want to deal with the hills. So this feature, this no sweat mode, is like as your heart rate goes up, the pedal assist goes up. You know, pretty basic stuff. So a lot of folks, again, if you look at it from a product category, be like, oh, you know, I got smart bicycles, whatever. Like, you know, I ride my fixie with my, you know, pant leg rolled up. I mean, and I'm kind of talking about myself a little
bit. Wearing sunglasses at night.
With no helmet. But yeah, I think that the idea here is around that experience is that if someone can say, look, I'm willing to buy a bicycle, but I need a little bit of help because I want to commute. You know, I have a goal when I buy this bike. I don't want to commute every day, but I want to commute like, you know, 20 days out of the year when the weather permits. And if it's raining, give me home. You know, if I'm riding in, give me a ride home. And Ford offers a product with their dynamic shuttle that could actually pick you up. And we have a cool video online on a YouTube page that's got kind of shows how, like, you know, you can go in. If it's raining, they'll pick you up, take you home, and commercial delivery and kind of like new experiences that it's not a bicycle. It's part of a mobility experience. And that's one of the big things that we look at. And another example of like retrofitting things for a better user experience.
Very cool.
No kidding. I could talk about this all night, too.
I know. We always do this.
I know, right? So how do we find you online?
Tomesoftware.com.
C-O-M-E.
Yep. Like home of the T, at Tome Owl, at John Murch, and at me, at Jake Siegel.
I'm going to warn you right now, if you go to the website, you're going to want to get a job there, and they've got no current job offerings. So just go check out how cool that place looks and the cool stuff they're doing.
We have some crazy, crazy like culture trips, and there's all sorts of crazy stuff we can talk about maybe next show, but
definitely got to have you back.
Yeah, downtown Royal Oak, and I got to tell you, we're just proud to be part of a great growing group of people that are down to build cool stuff, work with some of the smartest people in the world, and, you know, checking the ego at the door. So it's really awesome. Exciting.
Jake and John, seriously, pleasure having you. I look forward to having you on in the future.
Yeah, definitely.
So, hey, this is going to wrap things up for episode 173.
Thank you.
Of the IT in the D show. We'd like to thank VMware, Lenovo, and Indeed Prime for sponsoring the show. Thank you, Jerry and Aaron from US Signal. Thank you, Jake and John from Tome Software. On behalf of Bob and Dave and Nuri, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving and look forward to seeing you on December 8th. Do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. See you next week. Beat it.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Bonan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of their women.
Long live Flash. You've saved your life. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run. The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the can.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, warn the truth. Ohms. 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 Ohms.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? No! Yeah, so now I'm just like doing like stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
Show down.
I love this city. I was banging on the wang.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.